Blog Talk Radio.
Tom Farrell!
Three. Two. One.
For people who just get it.
It's time for the most intriguing podcast in America, the Tom Farinella Show.
And now, Tom Farinella.
Over the course of 10 years, it would cost what it would cost us. All right. Okay. We're going to. It would cost us about the same as it would cost for about. Hold on one second. I can't hear myself. Glad you're fired up, bro.
Yeah, so am I. Hello, everybody. This is Tom Farinella. Welcome to the most intriguing broadcast in America, the Tom Farinella radio program, heard right here at blogtalk.com. We're coming live to you today from New York. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to give us a call, the phone number is open, 347-326-9037. That is 347-326-9037. And let's get ready to rant. What are we going to rant about today? I have not figured that one out yet. I'm still trying to decipher where I want to put the show. You know, for me, it's whenever I get the chance to do this, I jump right into it because if I feel like doing it, I feel like doing it. And if I have the time, I certainly take the time to try to do it because it's very important that I do something that gets me out of the abyss of my work. For those of you who may know me in my professional life, I am an attorney by trade. Is it by trade? No, but a job that requires a lot, especially when you run your own practice. There's a lot that comes along with being an attorney, representing people and trying to, maintain a business. And, you know, when I look at what's going on, and the last 6 months or so, you hear my email. Unfortunately, there are some things that we just cannot, we cannot do anything about. And the email and the beeps off the computer is going to be one of those things. Anyway, so what I found myself in, and I feel like I have to talk low. I can't be my boisterous, obnoxious self when I am on a weekend because I feel like the people across the hall can hear me. And you know, when I was a kid, I used to be in my big brother's room because he had his own phone line, and I used to go in there with a friend of mine from high school, like in the ninth grade. Yeah, let's not get too crazy, but this is before I, you know, really understood what life was about. But see, it was my most pure moment because I went into my brother's room, used that phone. I had a karaoke machine from Fortunoff that I begged my mother to get because I had such an infatuation with the microphone at such an early age. And I think most people who end up in broadcasting find that that's the case because there's just an immediate draw that they can't explain at a very early age in their life. And with that being said, I used to be in my brother's room and call up my friend. I remember his name. Should I mention it? Okay. Franz. We'll say Franz. I mean, not Franz, Franz. We won't go any further than that. But I used to have to whisper because I didn't want anybody to hear me because I didn't want people to think I was going crazy or I was talking to myself. But I'm talking to you out there. And why don't you guys call 347-326-9037. This is the Tom Farinella Radio Program, Blog Talk Radio, where we're ranting and raving. Well, not so much raving. We don't do very much raving, do we? Right? No. No rating here. We don't rave about anything. We don't say anything is superb. Although everything is. You know, we operate from the basis that the world is perfect, right? I mean, after all, Obama is perfect, isn't he? Isn't that how the world is? Isn't that how the world sees him? That's all he's shown us, right?
What they'll say is, well, it costs too much money. But you know what? It would cost about the same as what we would spend. Over the course of 10 years, it would cost what it would cost us. It would cost us about the same as it would cost for about. Hold on 1 second. I can't hear myself. But I'm glad you're fired up, though.
Can we hear that just one more time? Studio engineer man. Hold on. Lo and behold, you don't know I am the studio engineer now. Hold on. Oops. Let's see what we got. Can we do that again, Obama? I like that. That's fun.
What they'll say is, well, it costs too much money.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what?
Yeah.
It would cost about the same as what we would spend. Over the course of 10 years, it would cost what it would cost us. All right. Okay. We're going to.
But I mean, did you see here how the perfection and the myth is slowly being?
No. Here's Tom
Carabella.
What is this?
Oh, there he is. Yes, Barack Obama.
It would cost us about the same as it would cost for about. Hold on 1 second. I can't hear myself.
Can't hear himself. But you know, the funny thing about it is, I thought about this. If he couldn't hear himself, if I take my headphones off right now, I can't hear myself. What? More music? I gotta keep it on. Yes. So that's what he sounds like when he can't hear himself. It's confusing to me because they don't have a plug for him, you know, like an earpiece.
What would you consider a good mic?
Well,
I think that we've made considerable progress, partly because.
There you go. The Rock Hussein Obama. He's really the candidate for the Democratic Party. I can't believe. Can't believe that he got it. Isn't this a very well produced show? We just played music today. Hold on. We have the almighty perfect Obama. He's not done yet, ladies and gentlemen. The myth continues to be broken even further.
Everybody knows that it makes no sense that you send a kid to the emergency room for a treatable illness like asthma. They end up taking up a hospital bed. It costs you gave them treatment early, and they got some treatment and a breathalyzer, an inhaler, not a breathalyzer.
An inhaler?
I haven't had much sleep in the last 48 hours, so.
Wow. That's Barack Obama in Bristol, Virginia. I don't know what he's doing there, but obviously he's bizarre, right?
a breathalyzer. You know, this is what I think is very interesting about these political candidates in this day and age. At this juncture, I think it's safe to say that once they become a viable candidate, I guess much like Barack and Hillary, because once it was more or less boiled down to those two, you knew that it was going to be them. So, but I guess even if they're campaigning on their own, nobody drives. They'd be chauffeured around. You know, I would really get a kick out of the one candidate who refused to be chauffeured in an SUV and went to his appearances just as he is. You know, like a regular person. I know it's somewhat impossible, but think about it. The politician, I guess based upon the lunacy of the American people, I guess it's a testament of people not being able to remain sane and normal because the president has to be protected at all times because, you know, at any point he could be harmed or, they could be harmed. And what am I talking about? You know, I came on here today just because I wanted to. You know, I didn't want to drive home some profound point. I just wanted to come on here and do radio because whenever things in my life are a bit confusing or troublesome or bumpy, I try to do things I like. And very rare that I could. So I said, let me force myself into doing this. Maybe I could force myself to the point where I'll actually enjoy it. I'm enjoying it to an extent. But, when you come into something sometimes with no real purpose, that's not good at all either. You know, you should do something because you love it and because you truly enjoy it and it's invigorating, right? Not because it's perfect. It's more of a hobby, I guess. If I was being paid to do this, Lord knows, I would have invested 2/3 of my day getting ready for the program. But you're listening to the Tom Farinello program right here at Blog Talk Radio. Give us a call, 347-326-9037. Plus, this is like I'm a big baseball guy, big New York Mets fan, and this is my minor leagues. I'm getting ready for the big time. I do some work at a local New York station. I was on it not too long ago, and it's fun. It's radio is fun. We talked about the last program, the dying art, in terms of the syndication aspect. It's eliminating a lot of jobs in the business and taking out the local host because if a company like Citadel Broadcasting owns 900 stations, it makes sense for them to employ one person for the 3-6 hour, another person for the 12-3 hour, all throughout the evening and day, you know, one person for all 900 stations because, you know, then that person can be, that person makes his money on the syndication and the other issues, the other deals he has worked out with the advertisers, but at least, you know, the overhead is reduced significantly in terms of the business costs. For those of you who may not know what overhead is, but basically the costs that a business must absorb the cost of doing business, employees, salaries, supplies, whatever it is, you know, it's the overhead. That's what I love here at my office where I work. I share it with some other people. And whenever they leave at 5 o'clock, they leave, right? And they shut everything off. Now I'm here late. I work late. It's nature. Sometimes I gain for weight. I don't leave for weight. But they leave at 5 as if the office is shutting down, as if I don't exist. So right now, I'm sitting in a 400-degree room when it's about 109 outside. And I'm trying to figure out why that is. Because they shut the air conditioning off and they leave. How would you feel? I mean, would you not feel like every day when people leave, they shut things off as if you're not here. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. What is this now? Viva Viagra. Roger Clemens took Viagra. Huh. And now there's a new iPhone out, folks. Did you hear about this? The cheaper thing is faster. Sucker, you knew it would happen. July 11th, everyone who waited for an iPhone gets a shot to gloat. The new iPhone announced yesterday by Apple, only 8 gigabytes for $200. You know, they beat him. You know, he did pretty good on this here. He did pretty good. He got you for like $9 million in the first one. Then for the 16 gigabyte, you had to pay originally was $6.99. And then maybe a little bit of a discount or something. And now he's been selling them at $5.99 and $2.99. Right. And see, people are buying Motorola phones and Nokia phones because they're turning their heads towards Apple because it's funny because I wanted an iPhone. I want one. I don't know why. I just like the way it looks. And I have the touch screen. But for $400, it's like, that's an investment. So it makes sense why he finally, is it Steve Case over there at Apple? Finally got his act together and produced a logo. I mean, you got a logo in Mercedes for those of us out there who are not high rollers. You know, from Penny and my end, especially mine. But you know, you still have a product nowadays that is a top of the line brand, and it comes in the elite to medium elite to just nice to affordable. It really is amazing how companies these days can adapt to the culture and make everything affordable to everyone. So who cares? I mean, Roger Clemens and his big blue pill. But anyway, I was listening to something about the Mets. I don't know. If you're not in the New York area, you may not care. But the New York Metropolitan Baseball Team has been and always will play second fiddle to the New York Yankees, only because the New York Yankees are the greatest sports franchise in all sports, probably. And it's pretty difficult to really oppose that with, you have a couple of teams, but I think the most winning franchise, if that's even the right word, the most winning franchise in all sports, and they're the most profitable. I mean, there's not a sports club in the 5 major markets in the NHL, the NBA, the NFL, and Major League Baseball. I said 5 to 4. Is there another one? Tennis? But tennis is a one-man person. But in terms of team sports, the 4 big ones. So the Mets play second for those of this New York Yankee baseball team, which is fine. I don't care. But, you know, we have a local radio station and any sports station that talks about this stuff. And I listen to them. And, you know, there's one thing. If you enjoy baseball and you listen to Mets, if you listen or watch or follow the Mets, then you may understand this. If you don't, then you probably won't. The New York Mets are not able to close the deal. What do I mean? When they have runners in scoring position would be any runner who is on second or third, because basically it would take just a simple base hit to get them in theory. They have not been able to convert. So over the weekend, they played a team let's see, who was the worst bullpen in Major League Baseball. So basically, once the starting pitcher was done, the pitchers that came in after the starting pitcher, those guys are the worst in Major League Baseball, at least were. So what happens here is the Mets, by the second game, they had a four-game series in San Diego, the San Diego Padres. They were 2-for-19 with runners in scoring position. And I think, let's see what else. Yeah, and right, 2-for-19 over the course of two games, of which they lost both games 2-1. They lost every single game. I'm sorry, the third game? Well, there were three straight games where the Mets lost 2-1 and they lost a bomb blaster back and forth. But the point of it is, when you close baseball games and you're stranding runners in scoring position, that's just, you know, if you're a good team, you don't leave those guys out there. You pick up those ducks. You help out your starting pitcher. Because if you're in a 2-1 baseball game, and you know the pitcher is doing a heck of a job, he's maintaining, he's keeping the team game, he's giving them every chance to win, and it's the offense's job to knock in those runners. Do you think this is mentioned on the local sports station? So you're going to call them up, and you're a caller, and you're not mentioning this. It's like brushed over. Because you say, now they're billions. It's the five. And they can't be approved by anybody, you know? They are the be-all, end-all. After all, they're the sport-talking head who gets to ramble and rant about sports all day, and you can't call them and say, but instead they offer some own theory that, you know, like, give me a break. Not only to mention that the guy in the morning at this particular station, I don't even think they play baseball. Now, I'm not saying that, because you have nobody in talk radio, and sports talk anyway, that you have very few people. If the prerequisite was having to play the sport or sport, because if you talk about all the sports, it's very unlikely somebody to play in the NHL, the NFL, the Major League Baseball, so on, and the NBA. So, or all four of the sports, some people do, I don't know. Because when a guy like me, who is lived and breathed, and I worship the game of baseball for so many years of my life. I coached at the Georgetown Preparatory School in Rockville, Maryland, where I had this distinct honor of coaching. I also coached basketball there, too, as well. I coached Fred Smith's son, the chairman of FedEx, Mr. Bill Bates, the Secretary of Education's kid. I coached him on the junior varsity my first year in the junior varsity, and then I moved up to the varsity. But anyhow, that's not the point. The point is, I played college baseball at the Catholic University of America. I coached there as well. I know the game of baseball. I mean, listen to these morons, these buffoons who sit on the ground. I mean, you know, the thing about it is, the reason why they're there is because they have a good memory. They could read, you know, that Ken Griffey Jr. has 600 home runs. You know, I know that just happened, but, you know, they can remember that, you know, they can name the guy in 1980. You know, and just because you can, you know, it's like a bookworm. Just because a bookworm can memorize all the facts and the figures and regurgitate them, it doesn't mean that when it's time to apply them, you know what the hell to do. And that's what gets me about these guys. What do they know about baseball? Nothing. They know history. They should be historians, basically. I mean, if you're able to name the guy who, the guy who had the most home runs in 1985, or who won the batting title in 1996, or what team won the, that's your knowledge on the history of the game. That's knowing sports, the historical reference, you know, the historical place it has. Being able to recall that, I guess, compare and contrast, which is wonderful. But when you have a real-life analysis of the game being played, they know nothing about the game, okay? They know nothing about it. they know nothing about it. Baseball is different than football. Baseball is different than basketball. Baseball is different than hockey. Baseball, as my dad always says, and I always say, as a result, it's a thinking game. The only way you're going to be able to become a good baseball player and know the game well is if you play it. These morons, to my knowledge, have never played it. And one guy likes wrestling or something. It's just the whole thing's a joke. But somehow they're there, and it's fine, but it's like politics. You know, I spent 7 years in Washington, D.C., and I look at some of these talking heads on television, and I wonder, they know how things work. You know, it's like a talking head who has his history down and can recall, you know, the six bills that were passed under the Clinton administration that were effective. I mean, you know, that's substantive, that's important, but the analysis, the observation of what's happening is based upon your viewpoint of having done it, having been there, having seen it done right and correct. And so that's why I'm puzzled by sports radio, because there's so many people who've never done it before. Now, if you listen to a guy, for example, who happens to play tennis on the station, and then he breaks down tennis, he has a much more in-depth viewpoint. Not the one that he's been able to control over the last 10 years because he's in it and he watches. I mean, again, anybody can watch the game. Anybody can watch the game. But that in-depth scrutiny, that analysis that comes from only a player's perspective, at some point, you don't have to be a major league player, I don't think. But at least at some high level. And that's the other thing. That's the only thing. I don't know. If you care, you can give me a call at 347-326-9037. And so, you know, that's just like one of the small things in my laundry list of them. Saying RM is just another one. I don't want that. But that's one of the very small lists on a very long laundry list of life and the confusing circumstances it presents to us and that we find ourselves in as a result thereof. Did that make sense? Probably not. No, we played this one already. Stop it. Do not play track number 7. Isn't that great? We'd rather go into a song here, because what we're doing here, by the way, if you just joined us, you're listening to Tom Farinella, the program here at blogtalkradio.com. If you'd like to call Tom, you can do so by dialing 347-326-9037. When I come back, we will battle and meet some more. If you have a rant, again, use my device at 347-326-9037. This is Tom Farinella, Blog Talk Radio. It's Tom Farinella Radio program. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Conversations with is the fifth day of eyes on a new tattoo, but the eyes should be on our head. We always fun no will to catch ourselves, but we weren't left for death. When I was never looking for some proof of anyone but you, and all this journey is over. Come back if you ask me to. I'm not dead, just floating right between the ink of your tattoo and the belly of a beast we turned into.
I'm not scared, just changing. Write me on a cigarette and a devilish smile. You're a crack of sunlight. The math, a thousand ways that you can erase the facts. Let others come and others go, but you always come back. I'm a winter flower underground, always thirsty for summer rain. And just like the change of season, I know you'll be back again. Just floating underneath the ink of my tattoo. I've tried to hide my scars from you. I'm not scared, just changing. Wrap me in a cigarette and a devilish smile. You're my crack of sunlight.
Tom Farinella here. Welcome back. Tom Farinella radio program. Sorry about that. Oh, wow. Bad. You lose your touch. Let's try that again. Ready? And this is the Tom Farinella radio program. We'll be right back. I don't like that. Let's try this. No, don't start that again. Let's try. I the problem is I don't have these songs labeled. Isn't that's perfect, right? Now I have the volume down. No, this is like a little too emotional for me. Here we go. This is a good song. Hi, this is Tom Farinella.
Step one.
No.
No.
Okay, that's not working. Let's try this one. Here we go. Right? This is Tom Farinella Radio Show. We'll be right back. BlogTalkRadio.com. It's only 3 minutes and 37 seconds. I need more time than that, don't I? We'll be right back. I have to go put my Diet Coke in the refrigerator before it gets warm.
Like a grain on the beach, like a star in the sky. Far too many to count with the naked eye. Thank you.
everybody knows that it makes no sense that you send a kid to the emergency room for a treatable illness like asthma. They end up taking up a hospital bed. It costs, when if you they just gave you gave treatment early, and they got some treatment and a breathalyzer or an inhalator, not a breathalyzer. I haven't had much sleep in the last 48 hours, so.
What would you consider a good night?
Well, I think that we've made considerable progress, partly because
what they'll say is, well, it costs too much money. But you know what? It would cost about the same as what we would spend it, over the course of 10 years. It would cost what it would cost us. All right. Okay. We're going to. It would cost us about the same as it would cost for about, hold on 1 second, I can't hear myself. But I'm glad you're fired up, though.
There you go, Barack Obama.
What they'll say is, well, it costs too much money. But you know what? It would cost about the same as what we would spend it, over the course of 10 years. It would cost what it would cost us. All right. Okay. We're going to. It would cost us about the same as it would cost for about, hold on 1 second. I can't hear myself. But I'm glad you're fired up, though.
So am I. Okay. Please stand by for our regularly scheduled program.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are.
All right, let's try it like this now. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. We're going to do it like this. Hold on. There's that one. There's that. Which one is this one? Isn't this one? Hold on, ladies and gentlemen.
What they'll say is, look.
Wait a second, Barack. Now we go like this. See, this is how a professional would do it, right? This is how it should sound. We'll do it one more time, okay? One more time. Hold on, folks. This is what happens when you have no studio engineer, you have no producer, nothing. You do it all yourself. Okay, now, here we go.
Everybody knows that it makes no sense that you send a kid to the emergency room for a treatable illness like asthma. They end up taking up a hospital bed. It costs, when if you they just gave, you gave them treatment early, and they got some treatment and a breathalyzer or an inhalator, not a breathalyzer. I haven't had much sleep in the last 48 hours, so. What they'll say is, Well, it costs too much money. But you know what? It would cost about the same as what we would spend it, over the course of 10 years. It would cost what it would cost us. It would cost us about the same as it would cost for about, hold on 1 second, I can't hear myself. But I'm glad you're fired up, though.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are.
Top barrel.
And now, Tom Farinella.
All right, thank you very much, Johnny Donovan. Woo! Here we are, the Tom Farinella Radio Show on blogtalkradio.com. There he is, the smooth talker, Barack Obama. See, I am the smooth talker. I'm talking about nothing today, but didn't Seinfeld make $1 billion off of discussing nothing? If you'd like to be part of the program, you can do so by calling us at 347-326-9037. We'd be happy to take your call on any topic. If you like baseball or Barack Obama or what about Hillary? We haven't said much about Hillary and her speech. There you go. Some more professional broadcasting. There you go. Who is that, I wonder? Certainly not Johnny Donovan. He actually did that for me when I was back at, I used to work at ABC Radio when I was a little tyke, 16 going on 17. And I was interning for the Angels in the Morning program, the Curtis and Lisa Sliwa show, and my nickname was Jimmy Olsen, and I was doing a radio show at CW Post Campus Radio. So I had to cut that up a little bit because he said, oh, he threw that in there about campus radio and stuff like that. I think he did do another one. The one I wanted to come back to was one that wasn't obviously played because, again, you've got to be very quick on your feet. That's why it requires an engineer. And, you know, actually there was a guy in radio by the name of Don Geronimo who just retired, some drama about him retiring. He was at Washington, D.C. Well, I used to listen to it. I was down there in Washington. And he was excellent at putting clips together. But, of course, he by the time his career ended, he had this advanced studio with all these buttons he could just push. And I'm just trying to throw it all together like I'm somebody. But you have to think you're somebody in order to become somebody. This is what I want.
And now, here's Tom Farinella.
Thank you.
Tom Farinella.
No, we heard that one countless amounts of time already, I think today, right? Oh, this is the one. This is the one.
And now, back to Tom Farinella. And now, here's Tom Farinella.
See, that's good. That was pretty clean. But the intro included the station, and it just wouldn't have sounded right if I kept that same intro. I don't even know if I have a full version of it. I may or may not. I have the full version of it. Probably don't. You know, it's funny. I can literally hear the people next door. I can hear their phones, like, because the microphone, that's how good it is in picking up sound. So if you're hearing phones in the background, certainly not my phone. It's the people all the way next door. But anyway, Tom Farinella Radio Program, Blog Talk Radio. It would be really nice if you gave us a call right now. As Dr. Joy Brown always says, when she has phone lines open, she says, and this would be a good time in the game, 347-326-9037. I'm Dr. Joy Brown. No, I can't imitate her. But the imitations. Where do we have an imitation? Well, we'll say that for another day. I'm not feeling imitation like right now. But we basically covered Barack Obama to the extent that he's a smooth talker, but he's not. And those two clips, which I don't know if I've mentioned at this point, but those two clips, he was a talent. He's holding a microphone. He was doing an impromptu. You know what's funny? If we go back to those two clips, hold on. If we go back to those two clips, I want to see if. Okay, I want to see. Let's see. What is the person? Are they yelling at him? Are they heckling him? But because listen, hold on, right? About is this the one? Hold on, right.
Cost us about the same as it would cost for a.
What did he say? Barack, let's see. We'll make that inaudible.
Cost us about the same as it would cost. For about, hold on 1 second. I can't hear myself.
Barack, let's go.
But I'm glad you're fired up, though.
Let's go, damn it. The guy's being told to rush up. Hurry up, you. Shut up already. You can't get your words out right. Yeah, you know, that's what happens when you have a glass jaw. You know, it's like the boxer who goes through, 12. I've never boxed before. I don't know. I just. Only know, bare minimum, if anything at all. But it's like the boxer who goes through 12 fights undefeated, and he's been able to successfully manhandle people who are significantly below his ability, and then all of a sudden he gets into a ring with a guy who's actually above his ability, and he gets whacked once and he's out because he has a glass jaw, and bam, it's over. So that's what it's like because, Obama gets through these town hall meetings, obviously, and television interviews with very little success, I would say, for a guy who wants to be president of the United States. They always say that George W. Bush sounds like a bumbling idiot, but I would venture to say.
Okay. We're going to. Over the course of 10 years, it would cost what it would cost, the same as what we would spend. Over the course of 10 years, it would cost what it would cost us. All right. Okay. We're going to. It would cost us.
Yeah, are they giving money away?
For about. Hold on.
Are they giving money away or something? I mean, what's going on here? The yelling is happening. That's why I want to know.
10 years, it would cost us. All right. Okay. We're going to. It would cost us.
Are they getting ready to eat?
For about.
Let's go, Dan.
Hold on 1 second. I can't hear myself.
Where are they going?
But I'm glad you're fired up, though.
I mean, is this toward the end of the town hall meeting? Or what? And the guy's being heckled because he's rambling. Oh, boy.
Illness like asthma. They end up taking up a hospital bed. That you send a kid to the emergency room for a treatable illness like asthma. They end up taking up a hospital bed. It costs, you gave them treatment early, and they got some treatment, and a breathalyzer, or an inhalator, not a breathalyzer, an inhalator, a breathalyzer, or an inhalator.
Oh, and I know an inhalator is what the people from Chicago call an inhaler, right? It's a slang term, or I'm sorry, it's their term, like sort of quarter for the New Yorkers, that horrible accent, I can't even really do it sometimes. Maybe I can. Maybe I could if I really try hard. I could try to do a New York accent. An inhaler. But even if you go to that extreme, an inhaler. No, it's an inhaler. I don't think there's any T in the word, but Barack found one. But that's okay. You see, he could say inhaler versus inhaler. He's not labeled the dumbest man in America. George W. Bush, you know, has problems saying nuclear. You know, not necessarily an easy word, nuclear. I don't even think I'm saying it right. Is it nuclear? Nuclear. If that would be like Barack's version, you couldn't say nuclear. It'd be nuclear. A nuclear. You know what? This to me is fun. More fun than sitting here with a radio show that's prepared, and you people may never ever tune in. You may have tuned in and be like, what is going on here? This is the most useless moment of my life. But if it is, then tell me about it. If you think this is the worst program you've ever heard, I want to hear it right now. 347-326-9037. I'll give anybody who calls right now a dollar. I don't think I need to do that. Can I bribe the callers? Apparently, somebody's being bribed in that audience because they sure as heck wanted to get out of there. So I don't know if they're getting a check for showing up for, like, you know, a few hours, or if they were promised dinner and they were getting hungry or something. But there's some heckling going on that's really, really unusual for these types of things. I mean,
spend it over the course of 10 years, it would cost what it would cost us. Okay, we're going to. It would cost us about the same as it would.
What?
For 10 years, it would cost what it would cost us. Okay, we're going to. It would cost us.
I don't know what they're saying, but they're screaming something. They want
an illness like asthma.
They
end up taking up a hospital bed.
They want that guy to shut up.
You gave him treatment early.
See, this is
and they
what
got
we talk about.
A treatment and a breathalyzer or an inhalator, not a breathalyzer.
There you go.
I haven't been sleeping the last 48 hours.
Oh, no. That's not the one that he's being yelled at?
That you send a kid to the emergency.
No. That must have been before this. But
you know what? It would cost about the same as what we would spend. Over the course of 10 years, it would cost what it would cost us. Okay. We're going to. It would cost us about the same as it would cost for about. Hold on 1 second. I can't hear myself. But I'm glad you're fired up, though.
Of course you can't hear yourself. That guy's screaming in the background something at you. I wouldn't be able to concentrate either. I mean, I thought the only people that heckled were at comedy shows. I guess it sort of is a comedy show, and the guy's referring to inhalers as inhalers and breathalyzers. Oh, boy. That would be really good if cops got confused as to what the breathalyzer was versus an inhaler because, you know, maybe, you know, if Barack was a cop, he would pull somebody over thinking they were driving while intoxicated and give them an inhaler and say, oh, okay, there's no alcohol registering on the inhaler, you're free to go, when he really meant the breathalyzer. And then when somebody had asthma, he would say, well, the breathalyzer, I don't understand how you get the breathalyzer for asthma, but then what about the inhalator? And the doctor would say, there are no inhalators. What are you talking about? And boy, oh, boy, wow, we really want him running our healthcare system? Woo! Out of touch. You do not get breathalyzer and inhaler mixed up because you haven't slept, especially 2 days after you just captured the nomination for force from, yes, none other than Mrs. Clinton. I don't even really care about her anymore. Let's see. Is there anything good about it? I really like how she gets very high, pitchy, you know? Barack Obama, you know, she hits a high tone there, and it's just so refreshing. June 7th, this is her goodbye. Goodbye to you. Oh, yes, look at her. She's up there with Bill and Chelsea and CNN has posted across the Clinton exit. She finally arrives 45 minutes late. Oh, this is like a whole 30 minutes. I can't for 30 minutes ahead. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, look at this.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm from Chicago, too.
Thank you.
Why didn't the people from Chicago vote for me?
Thank you. Well, this...
Oh, wow, listen to that.
Last Sunday, TNA...
Thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you all.
You're not welcome.
Thank you very, very much. Well, this isn't exactly the party I planned, but I sure...
Oh, no. Oh, dude.
As I introduce her, I want to end with her favorite quote, because I love this quote. It's from Mahatma Gandhi. He ran a gas station down in St. Louis for a couple of years.
A gas station. Wow. She's another stand-up comic.
By saying how grateful I am to all of you. To everyone who poured your hearts and your hopes into this campaign. Who drove for miles and lined the streets waving homemade
signs. Oh, they did all that for her.
And saved
yes.
To raise money.
This is my favorite part.
Who knocked on doors and made calls, who talked, sometimes argued with...
This is my favorite part when she talks about the little girl who wanted to go to Disneyland and was saving the money and instead gave her the money and she took it. She actually took the girl's money. I mean, the girl was scrimping and saving to go to Disneyland. The Clintons have more money than 99% of Americans. And she takes the girl's money.
Your friends and neighbors?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. You know, this is why you need a producer to edit out this ridiculous cheering.
Who emailed and contributed online.
That's right.
Who invested so much.
That's
in
right.
Our common enterprise, to the moms and dads
yes.
who came to our events, who lifted their little girls and little boys on their shoulders and whispered in their ears, see, you can be anything you want to be.
Oh, rah, rah, rah. All because of Hillary.
Living for 2 years to go to Disney World.
Oh,
and
yeah, here we go. This is my favorite one.
Like,
listen. The girl is saving all the money to go to Disneyland, and Hillary takes the money.
Like 13-year-old Ann Riddle from Mayfield, Ohio, who had been saving for 2 years to go to Disney World and decided to use her savings instead to travel to Pennsylvania with her mom and volunteer there as well. To the veterans, to the childhood friends.
She didn't take the money. What's her name? Let's see if we can get that girl on the line. I want to talk to her.
To the young people. Like Like 13-year-old Ann Riddle from Mayfield, Ohio, who had been saving for 2 years to go to Disney World and decided to use her savings instead to travel to Pennsylvania with her mom and volunteer there as well. To the veterans, to the childhood friends, to the New Yorkers and our Arkansans.
To the veterans.
You traveled across the country telling anyone who would listen why you supported me. And to all those women in their 80s and their 90s born before women could vote, to cast their vote.
I'm trying to stop this insanity, but
I told you before
I'm going to have to shut the whole thing down
about
South
Dakota.
Oh, yeah, we know about her.
She was 88 years old.
Yes, Hillary.
And insisted that
yes.
her daughter bring an absentee ballot to her hospital.
Oh, yes. That's
her daughter and a friend put an American flag behind her bed and helped her fill out the ballot. She passed away soon after, and under state law, her ballot didn't count. But her daughter later told a reporter, "My dad's an ornery old cowboy, and he didn't like it when he heard Mom's vote wouldn't be counted."
Well, you know, I have actually a very funny story. Well, it's not funny, but I when I was in Washington, D.C., I was in law school. I was living in the greatest place in the world at the time, and still to this day, probably without doubt, the best place I ever lived, which was a little enclave over the Maryland side, just outside of the District of Columbia, called Glen Echo, Maryland, where Clive Barton started the Red Cross. And the Clive Barton house where that Red Cross was started was right around the corner, known as Clive Barton Park. I lived right down a block from it. And I lived with an ornery old United States Naval Nurses Corps veteran who prided herself in the fact that she was a nurse, an American, served in the military. She brought back when she was in World War II or she was in Korea, overseas, wherever she was, but she ended up bringing back an Amazon parrot that his name was Don Jaime. And she was this feisty, ornery broad. She really was a great woman. And she was set in her ways. And when Hillary had announced that she was running for the United States Senate, she was just livid. She was a very conscientious objector to the Clinton administration. She was appalled by all of his shenanigans, and she just really lay into it. A Sunday did not go by when I was watching, at the time, This Week with David Brinkley, because that's when This Week was a quality program, not this objective news show with the Clinton former press secretary or chief of staff, whatever the hell Stephanopoulos was, as the anchor. I mean, it's a joke upon jokes. But nevertheless, Sunday didn't go by with little Miss B calling her, "Tom, you see these stupid, dumb beep, beeps, beep, beep." I mean, I said, "Oh, B," and, you know, it would just be very funny. But I remember when she passed away. I found out that she had passed away, and it was early November. And just before she died, she told her niece to tell me to make sure that if, in fact, the funeral was in and around Election Day, not to miss being able to go back to New York, because that's where I was living at the time. Yeah, I was a student, so I was living my residence, where I voted and everything stayed the same in New York. She said, "I don't care if it's my funeral or not. Just make sure Tom goes back to New York. Make sure Tom goes back to New York and votes against that woman." Go B. Smith, wherever you are in heaven, I know that you're certainly slapping around those dirty old men. It was great. She used to tell me that when the soldiers used to get a little feisty with her, and boy, she had to give them a rap or two just because they were, you know, they were disrespectful, and she would always say she had a big southern drawl. She talked about this. Tom. Every time I had the phone, Tom, I knew, And she was amazing. She was an amazing woman, and she had a green thumb. And she was, if she made dinner, she'd just call me and say, "Tom, it's on the porch." And I'd go there, and there'd be a brisket, or there'd be some wonderful meal that she cooked up. And it was kind of cute, because when I got a girlfriend, she became very jealous, and she threatened to throw me out. B. Smith, wherever you are, God rest your soul, because there isn't a day that goes by that I don't forget where I came from. And she sure did teach me a lot about life. She was part of the greatest generation. She was the epitome of what America once was. She was an orphan. She tells her, I'll never forget, she wanted, it was late November, early December, and when I was in college, my dad was very generous, and he allowed me to have his credit card, so I would use it, and what happened was, she had shown me this sweater that she wanted, or that she liked, in Lands End, or one of these magazines, and before I left to go back for break, it's well, in, you know, for law school, we had taken a break, I ordered the sweater, and before I left, I had given it to her, and you know, she was just, she never said, she said thank you, but I didn't find out how much she appreciated that sweater until after she died, and her niece told me that sweater meant more to her than anything, because she always remembers as a young girl, she would always tell me, Tom, you don't know how good y'all have it, because, you know, when I was a little girl, my mama had 13 children. She died of childbirth, the last one, and my daddy was blind, so we were in the orphanage, and you know what we used to get for Christmas? A piece of fruit. And so when she got that sweater, she was elated, because that's where she came from. And so she was taught survival at a very young age, and she survived, and she became a Navy nurse, and the government paid for her education, and she was a proud member of the United States military, and she did her part, and she was so proud of that. And she was from Virginia, South, the Deep South, way down Southern Virginia, but she still loved it, had an undying love for this country. She had a passion for America like I have rarely seen since, and it was inspiring to be in the nation's capital, to be studying law, and to be living with somebody who was so active in politics and so in love with her country. She really did love the country, and the thing about it was she was trying to do everything she could. She would say, I'm not going to be here, you know, very much longer, and how much time do I have, and, you know, this house was built the year I was born, 1918, the Sears and Roebuck house, and look what I did. She built it up, and she was proud of the things that she had. She had a love for animals, and she just was an exceptional human being. And she was an integral part of my life. I spent 3 years with her, three cold winters, which were certainly warmed by her charming spirit at times. But it reminds me of what this country doesn't have anymore. It doesn't have patriots. You know, and I'm not talking about people who jump in the military and say, I'm going to go serve in Iraq. I'm talking about people who just genuinely love their country, who stop and, you know, they don't have to wear a flag or on their car or, you know, hanging outside, but she sure did. She had a flag outside, and, you know, she hung that flag according to protocol, and there was nothing that bothered her more than when she had people who were lazy. People who were lazy and didn't properly care for the flag, and she would go knock on their door and say, you know, it's against the law to have your flag fly right now. You know, she was just one of those good girls who went and went after it. And I really miss her, and it's good. See, this is good. This is almost like a therapy, right? I don't know if anybody listening, call me right now if you have a story about somebody that you'd like to remember that had an impact on your life. 347-326-9037. But getting back to the bigger picture, she just didn't want Hillary. She wanted to make sure over her dead body to the actual literal over my dead body, do not allow him to be here and not go and miss that vote for her. And it was something when I heard that. It really was. that's the type of divisiveness that Hillary brought out. You know, a woman would rather have somebody go and vote against her than that than the person attend their funeral. I mean, that's pretty intense, wouldn't you say? And by the way, I don't know if it's the New York area, but I think the national news is not the change. So the thing they're talking about tomatoes. I don't like them. I don't eat them, and I have no use for them. So the tomato thing doesn't apply to me. But don't eat tomatoes. I don't eat any kind. I eat all tomatoes to themselves because there's nothing redeeming about it. Trying to try to play a guessing game with your life. This is the Tom Farinella Radio Show right here at Blog Talk Radio. If you want to give us a call, 347-326-9037. So what we're doing here is we're just talking about, you know, just simple things. What life is like and how our experiences shape who we are and what do they mean, you know, as we move through life. What does it mean to be able to see a complete erosion of the way things once were? And I'm not talking about the bad things, but I'm talking about the good things, where people proudly displayed the flag and they loved this country with an adoration that was second to none. Almost as much as their family, or if not more than their family, because it was the place where they were able to raise their family and give them the best life possible. And I think today's liberal, and I don't necessarily relate to the conservatives either. I think that their arguments have some flaws, but they're on the social side. I think that the flaws with the conservatives is that if they're really truly about people and their choice, it's just let people be, you know. And if that means, you know, as long as it's within the parameters of the law, then the question gets muddy. But those issues are there. But with the liberal, it's about this. You cannot feel pride. You cannot be number one. You can't be the most accomplished in the class. We're all just wonderful. I think psychiatry has truly gripped its ugly hands around this world because the way that things are done in terms of how we treat children school and sports and extracurricular activities, you know, everything's done so everybody's equal. Yeah, that's all well and good, you know, if you're applying for a job, for God's sakes. But you have the best player on the team. You have the smartest kid in the class. And it's okay. And you have a country that is the best country in the world. Because you know what the problem is? I love when people say, oh, people think we're so arrogant and, you know, America is not necessarily the greatest country. Well, then you know, you're still here. Now, you know, you look at the liberals, they say, well, you're still here. If you don't like it, or if it's not number one, or if it's not the best place in the world to be, then you go to the best place in the world to be. Oh, that's not practical. Practical? You're going to start talking about pragmatism at this point? And that's what goes back to with B, because there was a distinct pride that she felt for her country, and that was because she felt this was the best place in the whole entire world. And there was not a single place anywhere else in the universe that she wanted to be than in the good old U.S. of A. And she didn't care what the international community thought. The more the people hate us, the better. Yeah. It means you're doing something right. When everybody, you know, when parents are raising kids and they go, well, if the coach is being tough on you or teacher's being tough on you, then you're doing something right because there's resistance and they're trying to help you, and you know, but the one who you know is liked by everybody, the one who's popular, is generally the one who's got the biggest facade, the biggest is the big phony. Yeah, look at the popular kids in high school, and the majority of all of them. The most popular kids in high school, where they end up compared to where they were. There's a big facade. And so when everybody likes you, you know, everybody likes her. Oh, she's so nice. Then, when, you know, as soon as you start thinking and worrying about what people think about you, you will never be able to be yourself. And so this all kind of ties in, I guess. It's a big loop. But you know, in general, it seems to be more and more common that we're losing our faith in country. Or maybe we just have no faith in country anymore on a whole. Maybe we just have no faith in country. But I don't know what's happened where people lost their faith. Because America does provide for you. She gives you everything you need. She really does. There is no more compassionate government. There's no more place in the world that provides opportunity like this country. And it's telling when people don't recognize that. It really is telling. I mean, it's telling when people don't understand, why is music playing? It's telling when people don't understand that they're living in the freest place in all the world. And that you could not get anything else. You cannot duplicate it. You cannot get what you get here anywhere else. Healthcare or not. It was a Canadian prime minister who called her best buddy Bill Clinton up to come to Los Angeles to get a procedure done that she privately paid for because she had so much faith in her own universal Canadian healthcare. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And that's what I'm talking about. Tom Farinella Show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. If you want to give us a call, hold on. There's a little talking here. We have to talk over it.
I don't think he had voted in 20 years, but he voted in place of my mom. So...
Block out thoughts of you, so I don't lose my head. They're crawling like a cockroach, leaving babies in my bed. Dropping little reels of tape to remind me that I'm alone. Playing movies in my head that make a porno feel like home. There's a burning in my pride, a nervous bleeding in my brain. And I'm the pieces all I want for you. Will you never call again? And will you never say that you love me, just to put it in my face? And will you never try to reach me, did it find the one that saved me today?
Wait on, come on, take me.
together now for 3 whole months. It's one accomplishment that you helped me with. The one thing that always tore us apart is the one thing I won't touch again. In my sick way, I want to thank you for holding my head up late at night. While I was busy waging wars on myself, you were trying to stop the fight. You never doubted my warped opinions on things like suicidal hate. You made me compliment myself when it was way too hard to take. So I'll drive so fucking far away that I never cross your mind. And do whatever it takes in your heart to leave me behind. Hate me today.
Sadness has me at the apologize. I mean it, but you didn't say you're sorry. I don't understand. I don't care that you hurt me. And now I'm half the man that I used to be. It was you and me. You didn't love me enough. My heart made it a man. And you'll never get it to love me. Just like hell, I could go back in time. Maybe then I could see how. Forgive me, said that I should give you one more try. But it's too late, it's gone now. Say you're sorry. I don't understand. You don't care that you hurt me. And now I'm half the man that I used to be. When it was you and me, you didn't love me. And you're out of my heart. My heart made a man.
You would never let me go.
back to Tom Farinella. And now, here's Tom Farinella.
Tom Farinella!
Ready?
As I introduce her, I want to end with her favorite quote, because I love this quote. It's from Mahatma Gandhi. He ran a gas station down in St. Louis for a couple of years. Mr. Gandhi, you still go to the gas station? A lot of wisdom comes out of that gas station.
All those who voted for me and to whom I pledged my utmost, my commitment to you and to the progress we seek is unyielding. You have inspired and touched me with the stories of the joys and sorrows that make up the fabric of our lives. And you have humbled me with your commitment to our country.
As I introduce you, I want to end with her favorite quote, because I love this quote. It's from Mahatma Gandhi. He ran a gas station down in St. Louis for a couple of years. Mr. Gandhi, you could still go to the gas station? A lot of wisdom comes out of that gas station.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are. You are.
Tom Farinella.
And now, Tom Farinella.
All right, here we are back. Yes. I want to thank a couple people real quick. Tom Farinella Radio Program, blogtalkradio.com. Only took me six hours to get started. A couple people sent me some comments. I want to thank you very much, saying that my sound wasn't sounding so good. And I appreciate your saying that. Thank you very much. This is the Tom Farinella Radio Show, blogtalkradio.com. We now have the chat available, so if you want to jump into the chat and this again.
That never sleeps.
Lately it does, believe it or not.
It's Tom Farinella Show.
There you go. That's right. Only when you need something in it, yes. That always seems to be closed. You know, New York, you always think about New York when you live here anyway. Like I said, I grew up in Long Island and then moved to Washington, D.C. And then I came back and moved to New York City. And, you know, your impression of New York City is that you can't, you know, there's nothing that can't go on. There's nothing you can't get at any time of day. And it you really have this viewpoint that it is the city that never sleeps. And unless, of course, you really need something. And then you can never find the store that's open. And it always seems as if, you know, it's impossible to get anything done when you really need to deal with it. But that's what's very interesting about New York. So let's do this real quick. I'd like to thank, I believe his name is Ben Shapiro. He has a radio show called Political Vindication. Ben Shapiro from townhall.com. He's going to be on, that's when he's on, but Tuesdays, which is today, 6 p.m. Pacific time. Not specific time, Pacific time. Maybe it was Obama, it would be specific time. But he's on tonight. Listen to Political Vindication Radio. Thank you very much for your comment. And there was somebody else who left a comment saying that the sound wasn't very good. It was also from Wayne Kleinman. Wayne Kleinman. And let's see what Wayne does. He's an indie film with consin.blogspot.com. I don't know. Is he a, does he have a show? I don't know. I guess he's the host. Yes, he's the host, I guess, of Indie Film with Ganson. Well, you know, if you're listening, Wayne, or if you decide to try to see if I fix my sound, then let me know, because it would be good to know if the sound sounds better. Plus, I love Wisconsin. I went to go visit my friend in with my friend. We went to Minnesota, where he's from, and in visiting Minnesota, I said, you know what? I'm going to try to do one of those things where I visit all 50 states, including Hawaii and Alaska, one day. So I had to get to Wisconsin. It was so close being in Minnesota, and we went all the way to the border, and we just went over the border into a Perkins in Wisconsin. I don't remember where we were specifically. Yeah, there we can use specifically, not pacifically, inhalator, not inhaler, or inhaler, not inhalator. Anyway, so Wisconsin, good place, good place. So if you want to be part of the program, you could do so. The number, yeah, I got to start arranging a regular time to do this, because this is becoming addictive, which is not good, because once I get addicted, I can't stop. 347-326-9037. And if you call in, you get a free plug for your show. So if you're listening, why don't you give us a call or log into the chat and let me know how it sounds, see if the sound is improved. See, this is like community radio. There's no competition. There's nobody looking to drag you down or to take you off the air or to censor you. It's really fun. So maybe we'll book another hour. Maybe we'll do the 7 to 8. Can I do another hour? It doesn't say day is full, so let's see if we can. Anyway, so if that's the case, we'll just stay with this, with the show. Hold on. Oh, this isn't archived yet. So this is the Tom Farinella Radio Program. We're discussing all kinds of things. Obama, Hillary, how when Obama flubs, it doesn't mean anything. And when George W. Bush flubs, he's a big dope. So I think they both have degrees from that place. You know, the higher the Ivy League. That's right, the Ivy League. And it seems to be like a double standard. What do you think? You can give us a call. The number is right there on the station. Why don't you look at it and dial it, and you can be on the show. And we'd love to have you. We'd love to hear what you have to say. You know, this is the thing about it. When you do 2 hours of nonstop talk on a commercial-free radio show, it's equivalent to, you know, to 4 hours. I mean, you know, if you think about it, one of the radio shows that I get podcasted, downloaded, by the time each hour is podcast without commercials, it's between 33 and 35 minutes long. And that's not a lot of time. That's a little bit more than half the hour. So, you know, think about it. 35 minutes of radio. So it's good that that this exists, because, you know, being under the constraint of commercials, they don't get me wrong, they help. That's why you can, you know, we're still here, you know, free without making money. So, you know, you're not using anybody's, infringing on their rights for profit. And with that being said, You know, it's fun. It's very fun. So, there you go. Yeah, it's very fun. Very fun. All right, there we go. So that's what this offers. And I think if you ever do aspire to get into the business of radio broadcasting, this is a good way to train. I mean, it's a good way to get familiar with talking for a long period of time, trying to keep your train of thought, trying to not get distracted so easily, and it really will, you know, keep you in check. So you think. But we're going to be doing another hour of the show. That's right. We're going to pick up another hour of the most intriguing broadcast in America, the Tom Farinella Radio Show, where we're going to rant for one whole hour more. This is fun. This is very fun. And I'm enjoying myself. We've established a chat. So I don't know if – is anybody in the chat? I don't know. Where the hell is it? There it is. No, nobody's in the chat yet. So if you want to hop into the chat, get into the chat, like the hot tub, or if you want to get into the conversation, call me now, 347-326-9037. That's 347-326-9037. I'd be more than happy to see what you have to say. So being that we're going to come back at the 7 o'clock hour, this is very exciting. I don't know if will they let me stay through. Yeah? All right, well, oh, God, I don't have any music. Any more music? I know which song, which I think would be very appropriate. This was, back in the old days in radio, they played records, certain records, because they were long. There's two songs. There are two specific, not Pacific, songs that were always used because of how long they were, and one of them, I'm sure. I think that let's see the guy. Come on.
Long, long time ago.
No. This is the one we want. Right here.
I knew if I had my chance.
No. Nope. Can we get a clean version? Yes. This is.
Bye, Miss American.
No, that's just a very hard version of it. Talk about. There you go.
I can still remember how that music used to make me smile.
This is a piece of America.
I knew if I had my chance, that I could make those people, maybe they'd be happy for a while. Except you were an evening sitter, and every paper I used, bad news on the door. I couldn't take one more. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. Great audience. But something touched me deep in the day. The music died.
That's just the beginning. Okay, now losing my effect here. That's not what I wanted. I wanted the studio version. God, can't you just get the studio version? I want a cover. I just want the studio version.
A long, long
there we go.
Time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. Something touched me deep inside today. The music died. So bye bye, Mr. American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee. The levee was dry, and them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die."
This is just the beginning. Now the song gets started right about now. This is where it really gets good. We'll be right back.
Now for 10 years we've been on our own, and
king was looking down. The jester stole his tardy crown. The courtroom was adjourned. Now verdict was returned. And while Lenin read a book on Marx, the quartet practiced in the park. And we sang dirges in the dark. Today the music died. We were singing bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy through the levee, but the levee was dry. And good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, and singing, this will be the day that I die. This will be the day that I die. Skelter in the summer swelter, the bird flew off with a fallout shelter, 8 miles high and falling fast. Landed strong on the grass, the players tried for a forward pass, with the jester on the sideline in a pass. Now the halftime air was sweet perfume, while the sergeant played a marching tune. We all got up to dance. Oh, but we never got the chance. The players tried to take the field. The marching band refused to yield. Do you recall what would have revealed the day? The music died. We started singing bye bye, Mr. American Pie. And good old boys be drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this will be the day that I die. This will be the day that I die. Oh, and there we were all in one place, a generation lost in space, with no time left to start again. So come on, Jack, be nimble, Jack, be quick. Jack Flash sat on a candlestick, cause fire is the devil's only friend. Oh, and as I watched him on the stage, my hands were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell. And his flames climbed high into the night, just like the sacrifice. I saw Satan laughing with delight. Today the music died. He was singing bye bye, Mr. American Pie. Don't forget to the levee, but the levee was dry. And good old boys were singing with me by. This will be the day that I die. This will be the day that I die. I met a girl who's
still 2 more minutes left of the song.
And I asked her for some happy news. She just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before. But the man there said the music wouldn't play. And in the streets the children screamed, the lovers cried, and the poets dreamed, but not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken, and the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast. The day the news died, and they were singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. They were singing bye bye, Miss
And now, back to Tom Farinella. And now, here's Tom Farinella.
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome back to the Tom Farinella radio program, the most intriguing broadcast in America. Yes, indeed. We're here, we're talking about everything. Give us a call right now. Phone lines are open. The chat is open. Phone number is 347-326-9037. 347-326-9037. Yep, that's me. Thank you very much. We're here. Yes, indeed. We are at the most intriguing broadcast in America, the Tom Farinella radio program, for people who just get it. What does that mean? It means that when... Whoa. Hold on one second. Things are moving slow. It means that when people... Now the computer's freezing. Uh-oh. That's not a good sign. All right. I think we're okay. I hope we're okay. I think we just have a lot going on right now. I have a lot of things up. It means that when people do things... You know, the key is to try to get tempo and pace and get into a groove. And I thought I was getting into a groove finally after going into my third hour. We've been not on here since 5 o'clock, and I really thought that I was finding my groove. But then Microsoft Outlook decides to run its synchronizing, which just absolutely stalls my whole system. I mean, it's just the most irritating thing that I have ever. I just want to close. Does nothing but cause me problems. That stupid Outlook. All right. But I still think it's doing whatever the heck it's doing. Anyway, the chat's open here at TapTalk.com. Well, TapTalk.com's under reconstruction right now. I'm trying to figure out how to...
Congratulations. You've been selected to receive a free MacBook Air.
Oh. Who is that? I don't want MacBook Air. TapTalk chat is up and running, and the phone line is open, and you can give us a call, and we'll be more than happy to... put you on the air. You will get on the air. Like I said, you know, Joy Brown always says that this is a good time to call. This is, in fact, a good time to call. The number 347-326-9037. Oh, show is. Oh wait, maybe I have to. Oh, I have to call back in. Let's do this. Let's recall. Okay, and.